Welcome to the debut episode of The Break Room. I am Robert Littow from BlackSportsOnline.com, and with me I have the lovely Jill Monroe, who I like to call the franchise because she is the franchise player from Jocks and Stiletto. Jill, this is our very first episode. We will be coming to you every Tuesday at 2 p.m. Eastern, talking about the latest things in sports and sports entertainment. We appreciate you coming on. We're going to be taking your questions. We want to hear your feedback on Twitter, on Facebook, on Google+, on YouTube. This is a show for the people. And we appreciate you coming on, and we appreciate you checking out our debut episode. And we know we're on break. That's why we call it The Break Room. So we're going to get right into the show. We're going to talk about what everybody is talking about right now, which is the BCS championship game. Last night, Florida State defeated Auburn, and it was one of the best BCS championship games of all time. A lot of people are calling it the second best behind the infamous USC and Texas game. We had a last-second touchdown from our guy, Jameis Winston. Now, we're going to talk to Jill. Jill is normally our NBA lady, but she actually got caught up in the excitement of the game at the end. What'd you think about it, Jill?
I did. I mean, I caught the fourth quarter. I'm not going to lie. I caught the fourth quarter, but I feel like there was so much excitement the way that Florida fought back and came through and how Jameis proved all his critics wrong. But what we have to talk about outside of the outstanding game is all the heat that he took with his post-game speech. I mean, he just created an incredible feat. I think only three freshmen have done that in history, you know, to go undefeated for the season, and then to win the Heisman and end up in the BCS title game. And all the critiques were about, is he educated because of how he spoke in postgame when he was caught up in the excitement? And I think you brought up last night that he actually has a 4.0 GPA.
Yeah, he's a very smart guy. And what started everything was A.J. McCarron's mom, you know, who is, you know, A.J. McCarron is the quarterback for Alabama. They had won a bunch of national championships. She actually tweeted out, you know, while he was doing his speech, you know, was he speaking English? And it kind of struck a nerve with me because I'm from the Midwest. You know, I have a little bit of an accent. But what happens is that, you know, when you're black, these type of things are held against your intelligence. Whereas if you go to the South or if you go to Texas or you go to Miami, I mean, you know, there are people that have accents, white people that have accents, Cuban people that have accents, and, you know, that is not held against their intelligence. What happens with African Americans, and especially African American men, is that, you know, if we have an accent, if we say certain type of words a certain type of way, that means that we're dumb, or we're hood, or we're thugs. It's coded messages, and it's stereotypes, and it's ignorance, you know, that is out there. And that's what bothered me, because I know for a fact, and I know you know this, Jill, is that when you're speaking live, like we're doing right now, and you magnify that by, you know, 100 million people watching online and tweeting about it and cameras in your face, and you have all that adrenaline.
92,000 people in the crowd at the Rose Bowl.
And next thing you know, they sticking a camera in your face. You just won the biggest game of your life. Yes, he rambled a little bit, and it didn't make a lot of sense. And it, you know, he's from the South, so he has an accent. But that has nothing to do with that man's intelligence. It has nothing to do with the type of person, you know, that he is. And when people say this and they make those type of statements like that, it just really irks me because it puts us down as a country. And that's not the way that we're going to be, you know, good with that, right? Now, she apologized, and that's all great and everything, but hopefully we learn, as we talk about all the time, Jill, you have to think before you tweet, right?
Absolutely. Tweet and delete does not exist. Screen grabs last forever.
Forever, exactly. Now, the show is called The Break Room. Now, it's kind of ironic. We came up with the name before everybody started using it as their little code words, you know, The Break. You know, Dwayne Wade went on a fake break to have a baby, and Ludacris was on a break when he had his baby, and now, you know, broken by our girl, Jill, on Jocks and Stiletto, Jill, Kevin Durant and his WNBA fiance. I'm sorry, sometimes I can't get the WNBA out because nobody cares about the WNBA, so I apologize. Let me say it slowly. The WNBA star, Monica Wright, his fiance, they are allegedly on a break. Tell us about that, Jill, and what that means.
So, you know, Monica, most WNBA players go overseas to play in their off season. The WNBA is not like the NBA where they get, you know, millions and million dollars worth of cash. I think 100,000 is around, you know, somewhere in there, a little bit more than that is the top salary. So Monica was in Korea. Now, December 5th, she suddenly left her team. There was talk of a family emergency back at home. At one point, she wanted her mom to come over and keep her company. She left the team. The team really isn't sure why. She's actually suffering a 5-year ban because she left the team suddenly and didn't really reach out into contact with them. Came back to the States. Monica posted a lot on Instagram. She hasn't been rocking her ring. When the Thunder were in New York for the Christmas Day game against the Knicks, all the girlfriends were there. You saw Carrie Hilson with Serge. You saw Russell Westbrook and his girlfriend Nina. Monica was nowhere to be found. And then
Was James Harden stripper girl there? The Mahalia Jackson, whatever her name is, the one that
Malaya?
A lot. Yeah, was she there? The twerker? She an erotic dancer. Which one is it? I'm sorry, I get confused.
James is in Houston now, though. She's irrelevant. Irrelevant. So Monica was missing, and on New Year's Eve, Kevin was just partying with his brother, same thing, all the girlfriends were there, and then Monica's been posting very cryptic posts on Instagram, again, no ring. And then there is the biggest indicator in the age of social media, Kevin unfollowed her on Instagram.
So
there's definitely something going on. And Kevin also started following some of his exes, one being LaToya Luckett. So they haven't commented publicly yet, but something is definitely up. We hope that they can come back together. I know they're, you know, 25 years old. Things are kind of difficult at that point. So I hope they work it out.
Well, here's the thing. You know, my birthday was yesterday. So, you know, I'm getting old. You know, that's no question. There's actually, you can't see it because I made sure the lighting was in a particular way, but I got a couple of gray hairs that's actually coming, you know, on the goatee. But when I was younger, you know, when people would say they were on a break, that was just, you know, a code word for that, you know, their girl caught them cheating and, you know, she didn't want to embarrass herself and in front of her friends and everything. So they would say, oh, we're taking a break or we're going to, you know, take some time off so I can do me. That's young people probably don't know that. But me and Jill know that when back in the day, that's what they used to say before, you know, you can write, you know, all your messages on Instagram and Twitter. When a relationship was going bad, the girl would say, you know something? I'm just going to do me for a little bit, you know, and cry herself to sleep and watch TV. She didn't vent on Twitter because there wasn't a Twitter to do that, you know. So, you know, Kevin Durant and a lot of these guys, they're young guys. You know, they're young guys, and I think sometimes the pressure to be in a relationship, the pressure to get married, the pressure to get engaged, to have this certain, you know, perception for the media and maybe for mainstream society sometimes overwhelms them. And Kevin is kind of a mama's boy. And I think now, you know, he's growing up and he's enjoying a little bit of the fruits of his labor. So, you know, I think if he's not ready, then don't do it. You know, because you don't want to get in a situation where you marry young and you end up like Dwayne Wade and his ex-wife, you know, fighting back and forth, you know. So if you want to go James Harden, if you want to do your Harden ones and do your strippers and your R&B singers, then you go ahead and do that. Just make sure you're not de-waiting. Wrap up so you don't have a bunch of kids like Dwight Howard and everything that you got to hide from the mainstream media and everything. So
I mean, are you throwing lots of shots here? Pow, pow.
I mean, hey, man, look, this is the break room. You know, this is not First Take. This is not ESPN. You know, this is not Peter King. You know, we're going to tell the truth on here. You know, if the people want the truth from me, you know, I speak to the dollarnaires. You know, I don't speak to the mainstream. You know, if there's something that needs to be said, there's need to be said. So, you know, if you're a stripper and you're dating an athlete, you're a stripper. I'm not going to call you an exotic dancer. You understand? You know, if Dwight has 500 kids all over the country, you know, in Tigue and all of that stuff, I'm going to let the people know. You know, that's how it's going to go in the break room. So they need to, you know, understand that.
All right. Well.
and right from that, I got some more stuff to say. But I want to hear what you got to say because everybody knows how I feel about the legendary Johnny Manziel, you know. At the club, one night, two chicks, at the, you know, or at the BCS championship game on the set in the Tom Ford suit, looking good after that. A lot of people hate on Johnny Manziel, but I want to know what your thoughts is from a female perspective on what you think about Johnny Manziel.
Johnny the God is about to get it in. What? He's doing exactly what he's supposed to do, to the point of what we just talked about. He's young, rich, before he even gets his NFL money. He's supposed to be out there wilding out a bit. He took care of business in season. You heard nothing about him off field this season as a distraction or anything like that. So when he goes to chill with Drake, that's what he's supposed to do. He hasn't announced his opting out yet, but we know it's coming. He needs to be, the NFL needs someone like that. I think it can only add to it. We've had some, you know, especially as we're coming off of this wave with RG3. I mean, I think that Johnny Manziel is going to be a lot of fun. Johnny the God, that's what.
Did you see RG3 trying to cup his wife's booty, but you know she didn't have a lot, so she couldn't get a good cup. See, the brothers know what I'm talking about. You know, now my Caucasian brothers, you listen to me. You know, when you try to, when you get your lady, you got to cup, you know, the booty, and RG3 was kind of like palming it. You know, he didn't have a good cup going on. But as far as Manziel, you know, I agree with you. Now, I want to just add one little caveat. Love Johnny Manziel. I think he should do whatever he wants to do. And what he proved in college is that, you know, he could do these things and still perform, you know, at a high level. Totally different beast, you know, in the NFL. And sure, what we find out is that with these type of guys, that they will build you up to a legendary status. They'll put you all the way up here just to take you all the way back down. So as long as he's putting in the work, you know, on the field, and as long as he's performing, I think the sky's the limit for him, and it's very entertaining to me. I'm actually going to make a call to Jerry Jones because I got Jerry Jones on my speed dial. You know, he follows me, not really, but I'm just going to act like he does. I'll call him, tell him to draft Johnny Manziel because I think he'd be great in Dallas just for my entertainment. Now, it's the break room. We know you got to get back to work, but we want to take a few questions from you know, the people. And we want to answer those questions for us. So if you have questions for us, what you do is you can tweet us, or you can use the hashtag the break room and or the Q&A session here on the actual video, and we'll answer your questions for you on air. So the first question that we had is actually for Jill, and it was coming from Jill. You have to let me know exactly who it was, but they were asking you, you know, have you ever just buried a story because you were close with an athlete or close with a family member, and how do you handle that when you get tips like that?
The guy's name, it was like Elroy Jetson. I'm going to shout you out. I lost the tweet, but I appreciate the question. Classic example, I knew about the D-Wade pregnancy about 6 months ago, but for various reasons, I couldn't put it out. I want to be fair. I want to give you guys as much information as possible, but there are times when I have to hold things back. Just, you know, sometimes politically, sometimes because it may or may not be a friend, or just because I want to make sure the information that I'm giving to you is accurate, on point, and unrefutable. You know, we're not Media Takeout. We're not like some of these other sites where we just throw whatever out there. We actually do our due diligence to research it, to try and see where is this coming from? Is there truth to it? Who started it and the facts behind it. So that's sometimes the reason why. Sometimes it's political. Sometimes it's just a matter of confirming the facts. So, all right, but I'm going to take this question for Rob. So the question for you, Rob, has to do with the hiring of University of Texas coach Charlie Strong and him being referred to as the hip-hop coach. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, you know, the thing that was interesting about that is that from the time that he was mentioned as a possible candidate, you know, you kind of saw these subliminal shots being taken out about him. Like, they were trying to say that, hey, you know, he's black, but, you know, he's not, you know, a hip-hop coach, you know, he doesn't, you know, he's not black. He's not a real black person. You know, he's a cornball brother, you know, as Rob Parker famously said before he got fired. And I think that's wrong. You know, we're all black. You know, if you're black, you know, you're black. There's no this black type of black guy and this type of black guy and the criminal and the college educated, you know, none of that stuff, you know, matters. In the end, you know, we're all black. So it's offensive when you try to separate, you know, us. Now, he's going to have some unique challenges because I've already seen articles calling him a recluse, saying that, you know, he's not qualified, that he can't handle the media and the boosters and everything that it takes. You know, there's been whispers because he has a white wife and mixed kids that, you know, some people are not, you know, happy about that. And maybe that stopped him from getting interviews and jobs in the first place. Now, the thing about that, and I always tell anybody this, is in any profession, the best way to silence ignorance is by winning. If you're winning and being successful, you know, your staunchest hater will all of a sudden become your biggest fan. So his number one job is to kind of eliminate all of that white noise, pay no attention to it, pay it no mind, don't get all caught up in that, and just win games. And if you win games at the University, you know, of Texas, then you're going to be a big, big star, regardless if you're white, black, Kaepernick, or Bosch, whatever. So this last question is an interesting one. You coming from, you know, L.A. And everything. They want to know, what do you think about legalization of marijuana and, you know, how that may affect, you know, athletes and the fact that they can now, you know, just literally kind of walk into some stores and buy weed in certain states?
In season, it's not going to affect them at all. The rules aren't going to change in the collective bargaining agreement. The NBA and the NFL have already spoken out about Colorado, saying that our players are not allowed to use marijuana for recreational purposes. Just like how you can't drink on your job or whatever, you can't use weed during the season. You can't use it in the off season technically, but we all know what goes on with that. So, I mean, it's not going to affect it at all. At some point, it probably will have to be addressed later on down the line if more states start to legalize it. But at the moment, no change at all. And that is our time here on The Break Room. So I hope that you guys enjoyed the introductory episode with myself, Jill Monroe of JacksonStilettoJill.com, and Mr. Robert Latal of Black Sports Online. We will be here each and every Tuesday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Central. And we want to make sure you guys subscribe, check us out, send us questions. We appreciate all the love. Check out the sites if you want more in-depth on the stories that we talked about. And we will see you next week. Thanks for checking us out.
Say bye, L. See, say L. Ellie, say bye. Say bye. Ellie, you're not feeling this, are you? Okay. All right. All right. Bye, L. Thanks so much for watching.